Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. We like to call this the best couple of hours of your sports week. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your host, 12 Kyle, once again, and this is Dead End Sports. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. This is a weekly podcast that you can catch us just about everywhere. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, YouTube. Make sure that you follow us on all social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. We're there everywhere. Make sure that you check out our webpage, deadendsports.com, as well as go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/deadendsports. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. At the time of this recording, we got one game going on. Boston and Chicago are battling. That series is 1-0 for Chicago. We just had an ending for Milwaukee and Toronto. Toronto over Milwaukee, 106-100. That series is tied 1-1. Because at the time of we last recorded our podcast, the playoffs were not set. So it's time for us to give our playoff predictions. So let's keep it in the East. Toronto, Milwaukee. B, who wins that, and what's going to be the series count?
I got Milwaukee in six.
Okay.
Right now they just playing like they wanted, man. I mean, granted, Toronto just beat them and tied the series 1-1, but Milwaukee they've been playing like they wanted more, and Toronto just mentally don't seem like they there. So just from these first two games, it's like Milwaukee's like playing. They like playing with house money at this point. So unless Kyle Lowry or the rest of them boys can get going, Toronto might be leaving. They might be going home early, and Milwaukee might be meeting Cleveland for the second round. Might have Greek Freak versus LeBron.
No, that would be a killer.
Yeah, so
that would be a killer.
That's what I think. I think Milwaukee in six.
Okay. And that is the 3-6 because yeah. Milwaukee is the 6 seed. Toronto is the 3 seed. So the series is now tied 1-1, headed to Milwaukee. Ken, what about you? Milwaukee, Toronto, who you got?
I mean, you know we can't trust Toronto, man. I don't care what they did last year. Was anyone really surprised that they lost game one? I know I wasn't. So, give me Milwaukee in six, man.
I'm gonna be the contrarian. I should have learned my lesson from last year. But you know what, man, can it be? I realized watching game one that I really haven't watched a lot of neither one of these teams all season. They had a bunch of dudes with a bunch of names that I couldn't pronounce. I mean, like, everybody's got long names. This is like the long name series. And speaking of long, man, yo, Milwaukee is long and athletic as hell. Like, yes. Everybody's long. I mean, starting from Greek Freak on down. And is Thon Maker playing? I didn't see him. Is he hurt?
Who?
He doesn't play a lot. He gets like six or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. He's long as hell, too. I'm going to go with Toronto, man. Toronto in seven. I don't even have a reason why. I'm going to go Toronto in seven. I think Toronto's veteran, because they've been there before, I think that will help propel them. I think at some point, you know, your man Drake's going to show up and he'll be the good luck charm. By the way, off a side note, I watched a clip of game one. They had halftime entertainment. They had Talib Kweli performing. I don't think Toronto's up on Talib Kweli because they were really quiet.
Wow.
They wanted their boy Drake. That's what it was.
Hey, man, I could have sworn I heard crickets while he was rapping, man. That was like, I mean, like, they gave him no energy whatsoever. And, I mean, he was doing his hits. He did like a 7-minute set. It was kind of – he wasn't whack, but the crowd was whack. But I'm like, I don't know if y'all understand Kweli. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Give me Toronto in seven. Toronto in seven. All right, Ken, moving on to the hometown ATL Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, the 4-5 series Hawks are the fifth seed. Washington Wizards are the fourth seed. Who do you like in this series?
Washington. Washington, I like Death Row DC, baby. They got some thugs out there, boy.
How many games you think this was going?
Oh, man. Atlanta don't want any, man. This is going to go five, man. They don't want any. Paul Millsap in the media crying and whining, saying that the Wizards played like it was MMA. He got dunked on like two times. Gortat.
The Polish hammer.
Yeah, dunking on people and pushing them out the way. They just abuse poor Millsaps, man. So yeah, man, give me the Wizards in five.
Yeah, completely agree. I think Hawks gonna get one home game and that's it. John Wall is like the Atlanta Hawks killer. Every time when he plays them, that boy, they don't have an answer for him. They don't have an answer for John Wall. It's just one of those players that the Atlanta Hawks do not have an answer for. So, yes, I'm going with the Wizards in five.
Yeah, I gotta agree, man. You guys know I'm the lonely Hawks fan on here. This is a bad matchup. The Hawks played the Wizards four times this year. They beat the Wizards once, and I think that if I'm not mistaken, that was opening night. So, you know, other than that, and a couple of the games from what I remember weren't even close. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I would be surprised if it got to five, because it might be a sweep. Matter of fact, I'm gonna say sweep. Yeah, Wizards gonna sweep the Hawks. It's bad matchups across the board. And when I heard Millsap say what he said, I'm like, man, y'all soft. Like this is playoff basketball. What do you expect? You know, nobody's gonna take a light on you. It's bad matchups across the board, and I just don't think that the Hawks have enough. In these playoff series against a team like the Wizards, you gotta have contributions all across the board. Millsap, Schroeder, Howard, and then Bazemore. Like four of your five starting five gotta be in double figures. And if you don't get and Washington's very good defensively, quietly. People don't really talk about what they do defensively. And like you said, Wall and Beal are playing at a great level. Nah, I would like to see it go longer than that, but I'm calling a sweep, man. It's not gonna happen. We got Indiana and Cleveland. That series now is 2-0. I'm sorry, the Hawks and Washington series is 1-0 at the time of this recording. They play on Wednesday. And then let's see, we got the Indiana Pacers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This series is 2-0 with Cleveland blowing big leads, but you know, hanging on, and we're one. Actually wasn't a bad shot. One great shot away from C.J. Miles in game one, actually winning game one. But the Cleveland Cavaliers right there, according to LeBron, they're almost about to turn it up, whatever that means. B, how do you see this series playing out, man?
Same as the Hawks and Wizards. I think I don't know. It might be a sweep. It might be a sweep probably, man, because Paul George seemed like he's checking out from his team.
Hey, and calling cats out in the media too.
Man, I mean, you know, let's not forget Paul George is already kind of towards the end of the regular season. He was already unhappy with the Pacers organization and the players anyway, saying that, you know, guys out there playing with no urgency. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, his guys, if they losing composure, this is the wrong time in the playoffs to be losing composure, man. We got playoff basketball, and you know, I think Paul George is the only one that's really out there that's just like playing. Like, you know how you just see players is you can tell, like the Clippers situation. Like Chris Paul is the only one that's like really playing like he wants, and no one else is playing like they want it.
And we say that every year too.
Paul George is the only one that's playing like he wants it, like he wants, because he said it. He's tired of losing to LeBron. He's lost to LeBron three previous times in the playoffs. He's tired of losing to him. So Paul George wants this. I don't think the rest of his teammates have that same urgency as Paul George does. So I think this might be a sweep. I'm going to say sweep. I'm going to go sweep.
Okay. Ken, what about you? How do you see this one playing out with Cleveland being up 2-0?
The Pacers just don't have enough, man. They really don't. They may get lucky and get one, but I doubt it. So I think it's going to go 4-0, man. You know, they took – I mean, they still look bad on defense. They still let them back in the game, but it wasn't as bad because they managed to make a couple of plays to hold them off. Paul George is playing unreal, man. He's playing out of his mind. But it's just not enough, man. When I was watching that game, at some point you just got to look at the players on the court. And Cleveland just have more talent. Yeah, you can match LeBron. You know, Paul George can cancel him out. But what about Kyrie Irving? What's Jeff Teague going to do? Who's going to guard Kevin Love? Kevin Love is a factor in this series. So it's just too much.
He was big last night.
Yeah, he killed him, man. And that's just going to get his confidence up. And, you know, Cleveland is still trying to get into playoff mode. And they're using this series to tune it up. Which leads me to a theory.
What's your theory, Ken?
You know what? A lot of people online, they were saying that the Cavs were tanking to get the second seed. And I was like, nah, that makes no sense. They just suck. The Cavs are awful on defense. And to a certain degree, I still believe that. But I started thinking, what's a tough matchup? Butler is tough. Miami would be tough. But Paul George is a nightmare. Paul George, he's on the level of KD, talent-wise. I mean, he's legit.
Yeah.
So if you think about this right, so now you have, like, we know the other pieces are not the Warriors, but now you got that one guy that you could kind of scheme a game plan for. So maybe it's almost like, man, this is going to be a tune-up. We're going to get the equivalent of KD in the East. And then next series, who will they play next series? Who will they play?
Milwaukee, Toronto series.
Okay, which would be another matchup, tough matchup at the three, and they play well as a team. I don't know, man. That could be. It may not be for the reasons that people said it was on Twitter. To avoid Miami of all teams, they would have blew them out the door too. But maybe, you know, if you want to tune up a little bit to get ready, Indiana will give you some tough games, and then you can kind of, you know, work on your defense, work on your offense, and, you know, as the playoffs progress, you know, you're ready. You're ready because by the time they get to the finals, if they get to the finals, and I'm still undecided on that, you know, they'll just have the game plan for the other three in Golden State. So, you know, and by the time they get to the finals, say, for instance, they play Washington in the Eastern Conference Finals, they will have to deal with Beal and John Wall, Curry, Klay Thompson. I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Ken,
there could be something to this.
Ken.
What?
That's not the same, man.
Hey, but all right, John Wall is a nightmare, though. There's nobody that can guard John Wall.
But that's not Steph Curry, Draymond, and Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson.
I'm just saying the pieces, like the different pieces you face at different parts of the playoff.
I see where you're going, but the only problem is they don't play any. I mean, like.
I know they don't play defense.
Yeah, the defense has just been. I mean, like, I looked at some number, and I'm not big on, you know, these statistics and stuff. But, man, they the Cavs, since the All-Star break, are 29th in defensive efficiency. Since the All-Star break. So, right. So, and, you know, for LeBron to say, well, yeah, we're almost there to turn up the switch. And I'm like, dude, you're playing against, you know, I mean, and they have been. I'm surprised that Indiana has played as well as they've played. Paul George, I think, is averaging 36-6, and you know, Jeff Teague had 24, you know, the last night, and you know, but they couldn't match up with. And like you said, Kevin Love has just been the difference, or at least it was a difference in game two, because you know they don't have anybody to guard him, and you know, Paul George kind of called out C.J. Miles for taking a final shot. After game one, he kind of called out Lance Stephenson for his quote-unquote body language after game two. And I find all of this to be surprising because it looks to us like, and we've talked about it, like that Paul George could be on his way out of Indiana soon. So, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling to hear him talk like that. That being said, I think this series is going – it'll probably go five. I think Indiana will be able to get game three. And then, you know, Cavs will get four and five to close them out. If for nothing else, I think that series is compelling. It's fun to watch. I like watching LeBron and Paul George go back and forth. I think that's been dope for me. But yeah, man, Ken, I see where you're going, but stop it. Just stop it.
Hey man, you know, just another conspiracy theory. We'll see.
I know. Hey, we're doing our playoff projections right now. Joining us, the homie FIFO. FIFO, what up, man?
Yo, what's good?
What up, man?
What up, bro?
Hey, we're just getting locked in, man. Doing our playoff predictions. We're doing the East right now. We've talked about Milwaukee and Toronto, Atlanta and Washington, Cleveland and Indiana. Real quick, man, give us your thoughts on who's going to win those series and in how many games. First, Milwaukee and Toronto.
All right. Me and B, we went to go catch the first game.
We heard. Yeah.
Yes. And look, this is Giannis's coming out party. This is the second time he's in the playoffs. I think the first time was like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he averaged 11.5 points a game. Completely different player. We saw what he did the first night. He took their heart. And I've always said Toronto is soft. And I said something that night that I'm going to stick to. I said if Milwaukee won the first game, they're going to beat Toronto in five. I'm going to stick to that. Because I don't believe in Kyle Lowry. I've been said it. You could go and roll back the tape of last year and in the previous years. Don't believe in Kyle Lowry. Always said DeMar has to show up in the playoffs. You know, game one, he was all right, but he doesn't take over the game. He's not as impactful as a Paul George, which is why Paul George and LeBron on the court, Paul George is going to match LeBron. It's going to be a great series regardless of who's around Paul George. But that the same cannot be said for a DeMar DeRozan or a Kyle Lowry. Love the additions of PJ Tucker the perimeter guy. PJ Tucker. And I love the pickups of Ibaka. But it's still not going to be enough. They're not going to be able to do nothing with Giannis. I'm telling you, single-handedly, he's going to beat this team. So, to me, I got Toronto losing in five. In terms of
Atlanta-Washington.
Another player I think that's going to have a coming-out party in these playoffs, John Wall. John Wall has been highly disrespected coming out of Kentucky. A lot of people didn't think he was going to be a good point guard. I said from day one, just give him time. He's going to be great, and that's what he is now. And I think that this is finally the stage for him to show why he is a top three point guard in the NBA, because that's truly what he is now. I think that's how far he's elevated himself. And I don't see anybody on that Atlanta team slowing him down. So I think John Wall is going to do and get whatever he wants. And because he's a true point guard, that just means everybody else is going to eat off of it. So for me, I got Washington in five or six against Atlanta. No disrespect to Atlanta. They just are devoid of a superstar.
Hey, don't worry. I said they get swept.
Okay. That's a possibility, too. Yeah, I just have more respect.
Cannon B said five games. I said sweet.
Wow. Yeah, I just have more respect for Coach Bud and what this core Atlanta Hawks team has been through, because they've won a lot of games. They've been to all-star teams and all of that. So I'm just not going to disrespect them and say that they're going to get swept, even though the talent may say that they can. But at the end of the day, it's experience when it comes to the playoffs. They have some of that. So I don't see them getting swept. But it is possible. Now, going to the Cleveland Indiana series, obviously Cleveland's going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, they're up 2-0 now in that series. They still haven't played their best basketball and eked out two wins. They just have too much talent. Again, Paul George can equalize, not neutralize, but equalize LeBron James. And, you know, you got Kyrie Irving and K-Love out there. And then you have the rest of that squad that can at any moment give you exactly what you need. Cleveland will figure it out as these playoffs progress. I think they'll probably sweep or do a gentleman's sweep with Indiana. But, yeah, I got the Cavs in five. In terms of the Chicago-Boston series, here's the thing with that series. And my thing with Boston. Boston's a great team. But at the end of the day, it comes down to talent and how you utilize that talent. And my thing is, I love Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. But he can't be your main and only guy that can go get a bucket. At 5'9". When you have great perimeter defenders a la Jimmy Butler that can say, you know what, I don't care what nobody else does except for you, that's going to be a problem for Boston. And we already saw that. Jimmy had a pretty much a bad game until the beginning of the fourth or the third when he just scored like 10 or 12 straight or something like that. Right. So I think that's going to be a very interesting series. I don't want to go with the rest of the pundits and say, you know, Bulls in seven or six or something like that. I'm still going to hold serve for the hometown team in terms of Boston. Finally winning the East, Isaiah Thomas, you know, averaging 30 points a game. I think that they have an identity. I think that they will play better as a squad, but I will not be surprised if Chicago does upset them. But I'm taking Boston in seven in that series.
Okay. And keep in mind, folks, that is the 1-8 series. And if I'm not mistaken, in NBA history, is the one in the 8 seed is only beaten the 1 seed. I want to say twice.
Denver.
So, yeah.
And the Warriors.
Yeah, Denver and the Warriors. Yep. That's it, Ken. so... that's happening. And that game is, as I mentioned at the top, at the time of this recording, is currently being played. Chicago's up by 12. And I'm watching it. And I mean, like, I'm seeing D Wade hitting threes. And it never happens. So we'll see how it. But it's fourth quarter, so there's still a lot of time left. B, what about you, man? How do you see this Boston Chicago series playing out?
Well, as I'm watching this right now,
all right, you know, I'm trying not to let that influence my decision.
I don't know, which man. I mean, Boston might. I mean, Chicago might take this in six. You know, the way it's looking, it's especially if they take this game tonight, it might go five. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ, man. But Chicago is playing. Well, we thought they would be going into the season with Butler, Rondo, and D-Wade. You know, we was like, you know, if they can get some type of play from power forward and center position, they'd be good. But yeah, man, you know, Chicago defensively they all over the place, man. And like I said, you know, even though it's unfortunate that you know Isaiah Thomas probably might not be all there right now. Or maybe this series, you know. So I don't know how much he is there mentally playing the game. He's, you know, playing that in this series with his sister, you know, passing away. But Chicago playing like, look, we trying to make history and, you know, well, make history again and be an AC to knock off the one seed. Now, I think right now Chicago, this right now, just from based off game one and right now, I would say Chicago in six.
Okay. What about you, Ken?
I had Chicago even before the first ball was even tipped off, man.
Well, that comes as no surprise.
Even at this boy D Wade,
yeah, with your best friend D Wade playing for Chicago,
came short, that came short of a dunk in game one. That was hilarious.
Oh, that was hilarious. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
I have nothing to say. you know what? I thought, right, that, you know, when news came down about what happened, I thought they could rally and maybe win this series. Again, this game is not over. And you know, we know the fourth quarter is Isaiah Thomas time. It's ITT time, mm-hmm. and they can come back. And we know historically the Boston Garden is known for just crazy lucky stuff happening. But mm-hmm. I think this was just a bad matchup for Boston, man. For one, they don't have the amount of experience that Chicago have. We have Rondo, who's won a title, who played in, who lost in seven. We have Dwayne Wade, who has three. You know, he won one by himself, channeling Jordan, and got LeBron two. And then we have who else on this? Oh, Jimmy Butler, who's went toe to toe with LeBron and lost, but you know, he got the heart, the moxie, you know, the playoff experience, and he's up for the challenge. And this was the thing that, when it came to the playoffs, I was concerned about. Everybody was praising Isaiah Thomas during the regular season, rightfully so. But in the playoffs, it's different, and the rules change. We all know that. Everybody knows that. And teams can get away with a little bit more than they have before. And you know, Chicago has – they have talent. They have Bobby Portis, who's up and down, but he has talent. They have Mirotić, who is up and down. He can get hotter, he can get cold, but the guy can flat out shoot. When he's hot, he's damn near unstoppable. We've seen this. You know, Robin Lopez cleans the board. He's, you know, he's just that big guy down there. Got a nice jumper. You know, they can bring this kid, Jerrion Grant, who played well when Rondo went out. So he has some experience down the stretch. Denzel. So they have pieces, man, just throughout this year for whatever reason, you know, whether it's fit or, you know, with everybody, you know, with them having so many ball-dominant players, they've struggled throughout this. They've just been inconsistent. And while they look good now, this is a very inconsistent team. And mm-hmm. they can easily look like crap. But I think they are up for the challenge. They want to win this series. And they believe that they are better than an 8 seed. And many people believe that Boston is a fraudulent number 1 seed. And that they're only the number 1 seed because the Cavs didn't want it. And so that's why I, coming into this series, just based on the matchups, I like Chicago in the series. I wasn't looking at the seeds. I don't think seeding matters outside of the record. And I think the record doesn't tell the story of Chicago all the way. So for me, based on the talent, the experience, I like Chicago in six. I think Chicago's going to win this thing in six, close it out at home.
Man, I'm watching this game, man, and I'm shaking my head because I'm really surprised at Boston, how they're not playing. I think FIFO hit the nail on the head. Like, it's going to be hard for them to, and we said that all year, it's going to be hard for them to succeed when you know, so really heavily dependent on Isaiah Thomas, you know, a guy that's 5'9 to carry you and get buckets. I just happened to pull up the box score while Kim was talking, man. Al Horford in this particular game that we're watching right now has 5 points. You can't, in 27 minutes, so it's not like his minutes have been limited. Now, he does have 7 boards, but you can't have a guy of that caliber with that little bit of points. You know, so I think Boston has to win this game. And if Boston doesn't win this game, they lose in six. But yeah, you can't have, I mean, like the scoring is going to have to be, of course, Thomas is going to get his, but Avery Bradley, Crowder, you know, guys like that, you got to get some good play off the bench. I think Smart has like 10 points right now. You know, Olenek has 10 points. But yeah, man, you can't, they need, it has to be all hands on deck. And Chicago's, like Ken said, it may just be a bad matchup because Chicago right now, all 5 starters in double figures. And when they play like that, you know, they're a very formidable opponent. So I'm going to go ahead and I tried to make my prediction based on the fact that I wasn't watching the game, even though I am watching the game as we're recording this podcast. I'm gonna say Boston. I mean, Chicago in six. It's not looking good for Boston, and that's not what you want. Let's move over to the Western Conference. We got Utah and the Clippers. That series, Utah is up 1-0, but the game two will be played tonight as we are recording our podcast. So, FIFO, man, how do you see this one playing out?
I like Utah. With or without Rudy Gobert. The main reason is because DeAndre Jordan is not an offensive threat, so you don't really need a guy to guard him. Obviously, he's going to eat on the other side with Rudy in there. He doesn't eat as much with the defensive boards and changing shots and things of that nature because he has to be stuck to Rudy. But when you have a guy like Derek Favors that's coming back from injury, he had a pretty solid first game. When you have at your disposal a Trey Lyles, even though he's young, you know, you got big guards as Rodney Hood. You got a big perimeter player and arguably their best player and Gordon Hayward. You know, like, they just have a lot. And the thing is that I think that they're hungrier than the Clippers because the Clippers are still trying to figure out that championship DNA where Utah just wants to get respect. So that's what they're playing for right now. I don't think that they believe they can win a championship, but that's not necessarily their goal. Their goal is to play every single game hard and make sure everybody's like, damn, they just outplayed us. So that's what I see in that series, and I think that's how it's going to play out. Unfortunately for the Clippers, I think that this is going to be the end of their run. I think Steve Ballmer is going to have to make a tough decision as it pertains to Doc Rivers, if he's going to be the head coach and GM of a rebuilding squad, because I think they lose this first round. I also think that if that happens, Blake doesn't come back. I think if I'm CP, I'm probably considering not coming back. JJ Redick is definitely not coming back. So that leaves you with DeAndre. So I just think that this is going to be the last version of these Clippers that we see. So for those Clipper fans listening right now, enjoy it, because I got Utah winning in 6 or 7.
Okay. What about you, Ken?
Utah's the number one ranked defense, rated defense in the NBA, right? I think so. I think they are.
They're definitely up there.
That's with Gobert. Gobert is hurt. He may be done for the playoffs. A lot of what FIFO said, man, I'm in agreement with. I think that this team has often been overlooked. They're rugged. They're rough. They play tough. They're a lot like Memphis at times, and sometimes they got the right guy, man, Joe Johnson, to come in there and with this experience, help, you know, take a lot of pressure off guys like Hayward, who is a bad boy. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know, George Hill, if you know him from San Antonio, he can, this day's in Indiana, and, you know, he can play. He's a good player. You know, Rodney Hood can shoot it. So there are a lot of things that works in Utah's favor. But the one thing that works in Utah's favor the most is a guy by the name of Blake Griffin. Because as long as Blake Griffin continues to be a puppy in the fourth quarter of games, the Clippers don't stand a chance. Derek Favors is on one leg. He is hurt. He cannot move. He cannot play. He barely got through that game. And Blake Griffin is afraid of the ball. He's afraid of the moment. He wants no part of it. Chris Paul reluctantly had to take over that game, and he brought them back. It's going to take more than Chris Paul to win that game. Everybody else tightened up. Chris Paul kept coming. And when he realized his team was tight, he ramped things up while everybody else shied away from the moment. How do you score, 20 points in the first half and six afterwards? Mm. What is that? Ken,
you know what, Ken? You made the argument so eloquent that I always try to explain to people. Chris Paul, no point guard, no little man is ever going to win a championship by themselves because they cannot physically impact the game throughout an entire game because it takes too much of a toll. When you are miniature, right? Like CP in regular life is not a small guy. He's what, 6'1", 6'2"? That's pretty tall in normal life. But in the NBA, that's extremely small. Can he take on physicality? Of course. But how much physicality throughout an entire game where he's not going to wear himself out? A guy like LeBron, 6'8", 250, freight train, oh, he could play physical all day. That's not going to bother him. A guy of Blake Griffin's stature, physicality is not going to bother him through four quarters, right? But a little guy like CP, no matter how great he is, he's going to need a guy that's bigger than him on his squad to come up big throughout four quarters and physically impact the game for four quarters. And unfortunately, that's what he doesn't have on this squad. You know what? I'm going to question CP. CP, when you going to make that decision to go play with a premier perimeter threat? Because that's the one thing he has yet to play with. And I'm going to say this now. Until he plays with that, he's not going to even smell a championship.
What about you, B?
I still think Clippers might pull it out. I think with Rudy being out probably for their manager's series, I think that's going to hurt some interior defense. But to a certain degree, I agree with Ken because, yeah, Blake Griffin just keep turning into that little old baby puppy in the freaking fourth quarter. Then, yeah, I mean, I kind of see Clippers, like, because I said it earlier in the show. I said CP3 has been the only person that plays like he wants it, you know, in previous years. He's been the only one that plays like he wanted it. But everyone else has just been falling short. Jamal Crawford at times do too, but sometimes he take a lot of ill-advised shots. But, yeah, I still might say Clippers in seven just because Utah don't have their rim protector. You know, they stole that when ISO Joe got it from them, you know. So I still think Clippers might pull this one out. As much as I want to say Utah, if they had a rim protector, I would definitely say Utah. Regardless if game one was a win or a loss, just the way Utah was looking out there. Look, they look very good. They like Ralph said, you know, they playing like they really want it where Clippers don't. So you can tell by body language, man, the way teams play, like teams are just want it. Same way, like I said earlier about Milwaukee playing Toronto. Milwaukee, they want it. They just want it more. Even in this loss tonight, Milwaukee still played. They wanted it more. So, yeah, I say Clippers in seven.
Yeah, you know, B, I was going to say, like, even though, like you said, they stole that game, but Utah controlled that whole game. So, you know, Chris Paul is the one that got them back in the game. Only to tie it. So, yep. You know, so yeah, man, I don't know what they're going to do tonight. I'm curious, so we'll see. But they got a lot, make a lot of adjustments. For you guys. Yeah.
Name me another guy on that Clippers squad that's just going to go get his own buckets consistently besides CP.
I mean, maybe Crawford, I guess consistently.
Okay. Consistently, that's the key.
Yes, Jamal can get it, but I'm talking about as a coach, do you rely on Jamal Crawford to be one of your primary scoring threats?
No, because he's coming off the bench, so it's kind of
you just
like,
hope he gets hot. Anything.
Yeah, exactly. He's like a
J.R. Smith, man. He'll get you, you know, five straight threes and then hit you seven straight bricks.
Yep. So you don't rely on him. So all I'm, like when I look at that Clipper team, they're constructed as best as Doc could have. The missing piece is a versatile wingman that can go get his own. That's what they're missing. Because JJ relies on CP. Blake relies on CP too damn much when he shouldn't. Obviously, DeAndre has to rely on CP. And then Al-Farouq Aminu or whoever else that they're starting at the three at the time, definitely depends on CP. So you got four players on the court depending on one guy. That's too much for CP. He needs to be like, hey, bro, take the rock, go do something. Let me chill on this possession so we can come back down and play some defense. They don't have that.
Nah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna probably go with Utah, man. I think it's gonna be tough for the Clippers to overcome. And I think one of you guys mentioned it earlier. When I watch that Clipper team, man, it looks like Chris Paul is the one who is always going all out. And we've said this for the last 3 or 4 years. Like, he's the one out there really, really – and I'm not questioning the heart of his teammates, but it looks like he's the one that just really, really cares and really gives a damn. Like, everybody else like, oh, yeah, we'll turn it on, that type of thing. I do expect this to go seven, but I like Utah, man. I like Utah in seven, even without – and this is funny because the moment that they lost Gobert, I thought that they might have been in trouble, but – you know, they seem to have rallied around the fact, and he's probably not, like you said, he's probably not going to be, he's definitely not going to be back for this series. He's probably out for the playoffs, but I think I think this is it for the Clippers. I think even if they're able to get out of this series, which I don't think that they will, this team is going to get blown up, and it literally could look like a shadow of itself this time next year. So we'll see how the series plays. As I mentioned at the top, they will be playing later on tonight as we record this podcast. San Antonio, Memphis. San Antonio's up 2-0. B, how do you see this one playing out?
San Antonio is going to take it. I'm gonna give San Antonio in five. I think. Mm-mm, coach, four. Shout out to the coach, man, for showing his displeasure in, you know, the referees in last night's game. Now record that data. Slam his phone down. But I have a feeling that I have a small feeling that Memphis are gonna get a lot of calls next in game three. Just off of that. You know, we've seen it before. We've seen this happen before.
Oh, no question.
Coaches,
no question.
Where coaches go nuts about how And then they have the numbers to back it up and approve about how, you know, this team shut all these free throws and we didn't and da-da-da-da. And the next game, what you start seeing, oh, that team's sure enough getting a lot of calls. So I think this might happen in this game three, and I think Memphis is going to take the only game that they're going to win in this series, and I say Spurs in five.
What about you, Ken?
It's going to be a sweep. I have nothing – no analysis or anything. The Spurs are just way better than the Grizzly, man. It's going to be over.
I don't know, man. I think Ken and B are dismissing Memphis too easily. Now, I'm not picking them to win, so I'm not going that far.
He clarified that real quick.
I definitely think San Antonio has a little bit more than Memphis, but I think it's in six. I think Memphis is too gritty, too scrappy. Yeah, at home for it to just be a sweep. I don't see that happening. I really don't. And I think Fizdale had a lot of points with his little rant, because how do you shoot 19 times in the paint? The other team shoots 11 times, but they get 19 free throws to your like five or whatever. Right? Like that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that Kawhi Leonard, primarily a perimeter player, gets 19 free throw attempts in the entire game, where Zach Randolph gets zero. That just does not make sense. It just, come on, let's be honest. Let's just put our logical hat on, and that doesn't make sense. So at the end of the day, I think he pulled his little, you know, Phil Jackson trick out. I think the game, what are they going? The game three? Game three in Memphis is going to be called definitely in Memphis's favor. I think they win that game. I think they win game four. I think they lose game five in San Antonio. Then I think they lose again at home again.
I've got in this one, I've got San Antonio in five. I wouldn't be surprised if they swept Memphis. Memphis just didn't have enough. You know, this series is, you know, it's a rumble tumble series. I think You know, Coach made a great point. I mean, he came with his data. Oh, it's old, you know, Phil Jackson trick from back in the day where Phil Jackson, when he was the coach for the Bulls, particularly when they were going in those series against, you know, teams that played them a little bit more tough, you know, the Pistons or the Knicks, you know, he would openly, publicly, you know, complain about the officiating in between games. And almost every single time that he did that, they would get the calls the next game. So, I think David Stern eventually started fining teams for stuff like that. So, but that was the old Phil Jackson trick. So I'm not surprised that the coach did that. Look for Memphis to get some calls at home. I just don't think it's going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough. So this one probably ends in 5, maybe 4. I'd say five. Portland Golden State. Ken, who you got?
I want to pick Portland so bad.
Don't be crazy.
Crazy Ken. Man, FIFO, I told you, man. Harkless, Aminu, the pieces on that team, it's just not enough. And Nurkic, if he was healthy, could make a difference. I don't know if it'll be enough to win the series, but it could be enough for it to go 6. Dame and McCollum, CJ, they play fantastic. They just had no help. And it was painful to watch because them boys were balling. But the surrounding cast did absolutely nothing. And I like what they did in the second half of that first game where they tried to get them involved in the game. And, you know, at that point it kind of became a game of runs. But it also kind of took them out of rhythm a little bit from the first half. And, you know, I know Golden State may have made some adjustments too because you had two guys that was really keeping them in the game in the first half. But as long as Aminu's on that team, as long as Harkless is on that team, Allen Crabbe disappeared. Evan Turner's line looked good, but it had no impact on the game. Without Nurkic, they may get one game, but from what I saw, I don't even see that because it will take a super human effort from Dame and CJ to get a game, let alone two. Tune-up game for the Warriors, man, to get back into a rhythm and this should be over in. You know what? I'll give Dame one. So I'll say this will be over in 5. Because Golden State always slip up on that in the third game. They have a tendency to lose game 3. So I'll give Golden State a winning in 5.
Okay. What about you, B? How do you see this one playing out? Golden State and Portland.
Golden State in 5. Just too much firepower. I mean, it's just too much. You know, I love the dog that Portland is showing, but you know, it's just one of those things where it just matchups just don't work. Golden State is just too much. So yeah, I got Golden State in 5. I got Portland. You know, I always give, you know, that the lower seed teams or the underdogs those home games, those first home games. You know, you got a lot of emotion going. You know, you don't want to go down 3-0. You know, so you most of the time they get those games. So I give Portland game 3, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. What about you, FIFO? How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, man, it's going to be 4-5, primarily due to the fact that they don't have Nurkic. I think if they did, they could probably push it 6, mainly because, you know, the Golden State does not have a true viable big man. And I think Nurkic could definitely dominate them there, and they're going to have to make some defensive choices. But with that, they just don't have enough star power. You know, Golden State has 4 legitimate stars. They have 2 and an upcoming. You know, Nurkic needs to play with Portland a full year to solidify himself as that third guy, and they still need another guy, and they still need better depth to be able to beat a Golden State Warrior team. Now, the thing is, the reason why I'm giving them five is because, first off, Dame is from Oakland. That's number one. Number two, he's a mug. You know what I'm saying? I want to use other terminology right now, but he's a mug at home. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the three or four point guards that I say that just takes it to Steph Curry. And when you have a backcourt like Steph and CJ, you cannot hide Steph. Steph is going to get cooked by one of them two guys. And that's what happened. They just don't have enough to sustain that when Steph comes off and then they go to their bench and all of this and all of that. But Portland is definitely up and coming. I don't know the GM's name, but I got to give them a lot of props for pulling that move because Portland is just on the up and up. They still need one more guy. But once they do that, they're definitely going to be a contender.
I like Golden State in this series. I think it'll probably go five. This Portland team, man, they just don't have enough. Now, we did get word that game two will be tomorrow on Wednesday, and Kevin Durant is listed as questionable with a calf strain. He did play at the end of the game. So I saw them wrapping his calf at one point in time during the third and fourth quarter, but he did come back in the game. Portland played him scrappy, man. They did what they needed to do. It really looked like it got to the fourth quarter and Golden State was like, you know what? Let's stop playing with these dudes. And they put the clamps down on them defensively. Steph hit a three. KD hit a three. Draymond got a block. And it was just, you know, then the lead went from like 4 points to 12 points within a matter of, you know, a couple of minutes, which is what Golden State is known to do. They just don't have enough. I mean, I expect there's going to be a game where CJ and Dame will go berserk. But they got to get some help from Harkless or somebody else like that on that bench, or maybe another starter, just to keep it competitive. If they don't, it's going to be a sweep, but I expect that they'll get one at home. And then the final series is the 3-6 series, which is we felt probably was going to be one of the more entertaining series of the playoffs. OKC at Houston. So, B, I'll start with you, man. How do you see this one? This one is, right now, this series is what, 2-0? Is it 2-0? I can't remember. Is it 1-0?
1-0, yeah.
Yes, 1-0, with Houston winning game one. How do you see this one playing out, B?
I hate to do this, but I think I might see a sweep, dude. I might see a sweep, man. Hate to do this to Russ, man, but... I saw something on ESPN or whatever, and they were saying, you know, by Russ losing the way he did in game one actually helps his case for MVP. And I kind of agree. I really think him losing, and we're seeing the team that's around him, and for him to still manage to be a sixth seed in the West and have the record that they have, you know, really shows that they will be nothing but a development league team without Russell Westbrook. But yeah, I just think Houston, it's like it's the same thing with Golden State and Portland. Is just too much firepower. I mean, you know, Harden has a better supporting cast. You know, your big man, your 6'11 and 7-footers total out for like six or seven rebounds, I think, between both of them. That's awful. That is awful. So, yeah, I just think Houston might sweep them. I think they're going to sweep these boys, man. I would be, I ain't going to say surprised, but I might give them one game, but this might be a sweep, man. This might be a clean sweep for Houston.
What about you, FIFO?
Nah, man, I'm not going to disrespect the MVP, Mr. Russell Westbrook, like that. He not going to get no. He not.
Hey, I'm not disrespecting him. That squad he playing with is. That's all. I hate to do it.
I feel you. But you know what, man? The beginning of that game, the way that both James Harden and Russell started off relatively slow, Russell had a lot of careless turnovers. He had 9 for the game. They're not going to win no game. He has 9 turnovers. And he's a high turnover guy. But turnovers when you're trying to make plays are different from just balls that you're just throwing away. And at first, it kind of looked like both of the guys were trying to get their bearings, trying to get the feel for the game. I don't see that happening like that from that game forward. You know what I'm saying? So I think that Russell's going to have a more efficient series from here on out. I definitely think that – I think this series goes 6 or 7. Like, I'm not going to call it a sweep just after this one. Nah, man. Like, yeah, they lost bad, but to me, they lost it early. And it all – look, when Russell Westbrook is playing at the Russell Westbrook level, if they would have had a lead in that game, if Russell would have came out on fire, they wouldn't have lost like that, even if they would have lost. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see that happening another 3 games. I can't see that happening. So to me, they're not going to get swept. It's going to be 6 or 7 games. This is going to be a thrilling series.
What about you, Ken?
I wanted to go 6. When B said 4, that's how I felt. But I think it was a fill-out game for OKC a little bit. I hope that Russell can. I think he just needs. I know he plays one way, man. But God, I just slow it down just a little bit, man. But he has nothing. I mean, we knew this. We knew this the whole year. But they still managed to somehow win all the games. So Russ, we know what Russ and Harden, they're going to cancel each other out. And this is a situation where we see Houston has more of a system in place, more shooters, better players. OKC doesn't have any of that. But I think Russell can at least get them one, maybe two. And James is going to win this one in 6. So, y'all got the Rockets in 6.
Yeah, I'd agree. I say Rockets in 6. I wouldn't be surprised if it went 7. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to dump on Russ. And it, for some reason, it seemed like, you know, via social media, people were just saying, well, you know, this just proves that Harden is the – it's one game. I mean, and keep in mind, folks listening, the MVP votes are already in. That's just right. For the regular season. So
it's, you know, regular season. It's, yeah, not freaking playoffs.
Yeah, so if James Harden scores 100 points, that doesn't help his case for, you know, MVP. So just understand that the votes are already in for those.
Oh, yeah. Kyle, too. Also, I just want to piggyback off that. I know we talk about the MVP. For the first time this year, the NBA will be having a, like, an award ceremony type of deal, which – you know, of course, I've been so used to always knowing who's the MVP during, you know, the earlier part of the playoffs or whatever, and all the other awards, and most improved player, sixth man of the year, coach of the year. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool that they're doing this. And I think if they're gonna continue to do this, I think it would be dope if they have it in different cities every year. Like, have it in every city that has an NBA team, just like how they do All-Star Weekend. Like,
okay.
Have it at a different city every year. I think that would be kind of dope. You know, like, for people, like, hey, you going to the NBA Award Ceremony at Blase Blase and, you know, check out, see. It's, you know, kind of similar to the Heisman Award or whatever. It's like, that's cool that they doing it. They having, like, a one-night event where they give out all the awards for the previous season. And they waiting to, like, win the entire NBA. Even though at first I was like, man, that sucks. But then I thought about it. I'm like, man, I think that's a kind of good idea if they plan on doing it in, like, different cities. Don't have it in New York every single year. I think it would be dope if they have it in whatever city, any city that has an NBA team. I think that would be dope if they have it in different cities every year.
I agree. That would definitely be dope.